Hi everyone, this is Catherine from the Media Education Lab, and you're listening to the Courageous Rhode Island Podcast, the show that finds common ground, builds media literacy skills, and encourages curiosity for the people of Rhode Island. In this episode, our host Renee Hobbs talks to Jennifer Lima, who serves as the head of TANK, Towards an Anti-Racist North Kingstown, and is also a member of the North Kingstown School Committee. Today, you'll hear her talk about what being courageous means to her identity and her experience as an activist, and how to embrace fear and take courageous action.
Welcome to another episode of Courageous RI, the podcast. And today I'm with Jennifer Lima of North Kingstown. Jennifer, I am so glad to have you on this show. And of course, your leadership as an anti-racist activist has been very inspiring to me. And I'm eager to hear more about how and why this work is meaningful to you. And I also know that you're perhaps one of the most courageous women I know in Rhode Island. And so I'm hoping that you can talk a little bit about what's courageous mean to you? And how have you been faced with the challenge of being courageous in your work over the last 3 years? Will you introduce yourself? Yeah, introduce yourself.
Sure. So
folks who don't know you.
My name's Jennifer Lima. I live in North Kingstown. I am many, many things. I'm a mother. I am the head of a nonprofit in North Kingstown called Towards an Anti-Racist North Kingstown. And I am also a member of the North Kingstown School Committee. And I am also proud to call myself an activist. I have had that hurled at me as an insult, but I wear that label proudly. For me, I think the most courageous thing that I've ever done was decide to step out of my box and get off the sofa and decide to actually do something. The first thing that I did was decide to run for school committee. I had never done anything like that in my life. I don't like talking to people. I have never done anything remotely like that. And when I said that I was doing that, people looked at me like I was crazy. But I kind of told myself that, you know, everybody kind of says, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? And I really wanted my kids, who are not kids, they're 32, 20, 19, and 18, to see that if you want to make a change, you have to be willing to get out there and make that change. And I kind of thought that if they saw me out there doing that, that it would inspire them to do the same thing. And that was by far and away the most courageous thing that I've ever done in my life. And it is still courageous single day. But I also wanted to show people that you don't have to be some brave, bold, super like educated or super experienced or super anything person to go out there and make a difference. You can just be you and start where you are and just start to make a difference in whatever realm that you have. And I've just been kind of operating along that principle every day for the past few years.
Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful story. And I feel like along the way come so many unexpected benefits and unexpected learning. So what did you learn that was unexpected about this journey? And then what did you gain? What have been the blessings, the joyful aspects of stepping into this courageous space? And running for office as a member of the school committee. What did you learn and what was special about it?
There has been so much, you know, for all, I must have said, I probably picked the absolute worst time to run for school committee between like COVID and between like the rise in, you know, tensions and aggressions that we've seen nationally across the country, you know, against school board members. You know, we've seen that locally here. So from that framing, I couldn't have picked a worse time to run for school committee. But I think for me, it has highlighted that although there are people out there who are really sometimes difficult to deal with and maybe are out there, you know, maybe not with the best of intentions. Like the thing that I say all the time is that people are awful, but they are amazing also. And there are so many more amazing people out there than there are awful. And that's really what I try to cling to, because every time there has been something that has been difficult or taxing or stressful, it without fail, I have run into somebody else who has either gone through the same thing or has given me some type of hope to keep forward. And without a doubt, it's the youth in our area that have just always inspire me. And whenever anything is going wrong, it seems like I am not a religious person, but it never fails to amaze me that like a student will pop up in my path who will remind me that that is why I am out there doing this on a regular basis.
Wow. Isn't that interesting how just at the moment when you need it the most, somebody shows up and says, yes, thank you for doing this work. And it's so, so important.
Yes. You know, it's funny because, you know, I think everybody knows I've dealt with a lot of pushback, a lot of criticism. I've actually received like death threats. Like it hasn't been like a smooth path. And my family has lived through a lot of that with me, and it's not been easy for them. And they see that. They see that a lot, even as much as I try to keep them from that. But my youngest son, who is still in the high school here, was out with me one day at Marshall's. And we were in line, and a woman came up to us and she said, you know, you don't know me, but you know, I live in town and I just want to thank you so much. Like I follow everything that you do. I have young kids and I can't thank you enough for standing up for the students. And it was just a great, great moment. And we got out of the store and my son looked at me and he goes, wow. He goes, I think I get it now. He's like, I see why you put up with the rest of it. Like, I see why it's important to you to do that. And I was so grateful that she A, said that to begin with, but B, took that moment with my son there so that he could see it's not all nasty. Like it really is worthwhile work. And it does make a difference. Even if you don't see it, it is out there. Like you do one little thing and it makes a ripple of positive stuff. And it was really important to me that she did that.
It's a beautiful story. And it also so much speaks to this idea that when we are faced with fear and uncertainty, when the world seems like it's falling apart, when things are not going well, you decided you're not going to retreat into helpless and hopeless. You're going to take action. And in doing so, inspire a lot of people to see that, to see the value of being that kind of courageous. It's incredible. And I feel like I really appreciate the idea of how your identity as an activist is something that you want for your children. You want them to appreciate that power of being courageous enough to try to make a difference in the world. And I guess I would say, so I bet our viewers want to know, why is that so important? A lot of people, they can't imagine their identity as an activist, but you could and did. How come you see yourself as an activist, and why did it become an essential part of your identity to take on some of these big challenges at this most difficult time?
Well, I never envisioned I just turned 52. I never envisioned myself as an activist my whole life. I never would have pegged myself in that way. But I think myself, like so many others, were, you know, kind of called to do something after 2020 and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And I think so, especially, you know, I'm white, my husband is Black, my children are biracial. And it was like, I need to, you know, do something, because I can't just sit by and say I did nothing, especially for my children. Like, I think it's important for them to see that, you know, as their mother, I'm doing something actively to make a difference for the next generation. And I think especially in a community that is as white as North Kingstown is, it is incumbent upon, I believe, you know, it is not a Black people problem, it is a white people problem also. And we need to collectively work together to improve things for the whole community. And And that's kind of why I was like, we need to do this together. And it is, I felt like it was my responsibility to take those first steps to try to call the rest of the community in to change things. And it was not something I ever would have imagined doing, but here I am.
Wow. And what I love about this is how, and I think I share this stance with you that white people have to be part of the solution. We have to take on the burden of educating ourselves about systemic racism, right? And we have to take on the opportunity to challenge some of our own stereotypes. I feel like the work that you're doing with, it's called TANK, right? Now, what does that stand for? TANK. And tell me a little bit about how it grew and developed and how you see it flourishing in the future.
Sure. It stands for Towards an Anti-Racist North Kingstown. Because I think, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's a difference between not being racist and between being actively anti-racist. And that's kind of what we try to work towards. I was inspired by a group in South Kingstown, which was TASK, Towards an Anti-Racist South Kingstown. I shamelessly stole from them. Like, I had that conversation with them, why reinvent the wheel? But it's just kind of working towards having our community be actively anti-racist. And that doesn't mean that North Kingstown is a racist community. Like, it just means that we can be better. And, you know, I like to tell the story that, you know, I met my husband when I was 30 years old, and I naively didn't think that racism was still a problem until I met him. And then I, unfortunately, my mind was blown, and I realized so many things that I didn't realize. And it was embarrassing as a white 30-year-old woman to discover that racism was indeed alive and well and living in North Kingstown. And I really feel that a lot of people also don't see it because it's not something that they have had an occasion to experience themselves. And I don't think it's malicious that people, you know, don't see it, but I think it's important that people listen when other people share their experiences with them, because not everybody walks through life with the same experiences, and you need to be open to hearing what other people's experiences are.
Ah, that is so huge. And that's so relevant to the work that we're trying to do at Courageous RI. What happens if we come together and actually just listen to hear to each other's understandings, interpretations, and experiences? That can be tremendously eye-opening. Now, you had the opportunity to participate in a courageous conversation. Could you, if somebody, we're having trouble kind of explaining it to people. Like, what is it? So based on what you experienced, how would you describe it to somebody who hasn't yet participated?
So I would definitely, it's really interesting because I love the fact that it's not just people from Rhode Island, like it's people from all over the country and all over the world too. Like, I was amazed that there was somebody from Kazakhstan in the first one who was trying to establish media literacy standards in their country. I thought that was fabulous, but I think it's great because you come, you listen, you hear what, you know, how to evaluate media from a critical standpoint, the five questions, you're given an example of like a framework for the week, for the assignment, and then you listen to what other people interpret as. And I know for me, like, I tend to, my husband has an expression, like, when you're a hammer, you only see nails. And I know, like, for me, I tend to see things from a certain lens. And it's really interesting to hear how other people interpret things. And you do hear and see things that other people don't, and you get to hear how other people do, and you do open up your mind to, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. And it is good to get that, especially the part where you're like, well, what audience isn't being reached, or what audience are they trying to reach? It's definitely a good opportunity to kind of open your mind a little bit.
Yeah, that is a great description. Absolutely great description. I feel like we don't always know what we don't know. Like you said, mm-hmm. We're stuck in our own like bubble of interpreting it from one point of view. Super refreshing and a little exhilarating and sometimes a little unnerving to encounter people's other points of view. But I was just thrilled that you joined our courageous conversation. And I feel like in my world, you are the epitome of a courageous leader. And what I wonder is, what could we do moving forward to inspire people to be as courageous as you are? What would help someone who might be watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, what might help them to, what's one small step that people could take on the courageous journey?
I think like knowing that you don't actually have to be courageous. Like I was terrified the whole time. And I still am like to this day, like when I'm doing something, like you don't actually have to think of yourself as courageous to do things that'll make a difference. You know what I mean? Like you just have to do what inspires you and what you feel called to do, like what feels right to you. You might think you're doing something horrifically wrong and that you're going to screw everything up and like why are you out there doing it, but just do what you feel called in the moment feels right to you, and you may discover that it ends up being amazing. You may discover that, oh my god, I screwed that up big time. But like you just every day you just do what feels right to you, and I think that's the best way to go about it. Find your passion and just go after it. And if you don't feel like you can lead the conversation or lead the action yourself, find somebody you admire and help them in the work that they're doing.
There you go. Be part of a team. Find yes. find your flock.
Yes. Right? Yep.
Yeah. Really important. Well, I am hoping and praying that a lot of people find TANK and are inspired by this interview today to think about themselves, think about the opportunity to make a difference in a small way or a large way, be a courageous RI leader. Jennifer, thank you so much for talking to me today. I look forward to seeing you on the courageous journey and just saying you rock, my friend. Do me a favor. You're going to send me a little email. I'm going to try to write some show notes and say where people can go to find more because you've got events happening too, right? You're doing all kinds of things moving forward. People could join you on your courageous journey. So people will be able to look in the show notes to find out more how to do that.
Okay, awesome. And thanks again for having me. Bye.
I really enjoyed it. Bye now. Bye.
Bye.